always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Thursday's edition. It'll be a Thunderdome Thursday indeed, as we are on Trump Trial Watch. A verdict has been reached. Welcome to 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, your number one station in the region for live and local conservative talk. And we always bring you the breaking news of the day. Didn't want to bury the lead there. However, I also have another very important announcement. It is the birthday of one Chris Arps.
Thank you. I almost forgot that. I was like, I wonder what the announcement is. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, 58 years old today. And I want to, first of all, publicly thank everyone that has called and texted and left messages on my Facebook and everything. It is absolutely overwhelming to for people to take time out of their day to wish you a happy birthday. So thank you so much, Tim. I'm a blessed man. I have a blessed political and radio career. I've got the greatest wife a man could ever want, the greatest friends, and live in the greatest country in the world, and best of all, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So I know where I'm going after this trip is over. So life is good.
And you're wearing your News Talk STL swag
and hat.
And I matched you today as well. I got my lid out in the car. Chris, we are here. We are live. Mm. The verdict has been reached in the New York versus Trump trial. The judge is addressing the jury right now. We're going to go to the Big Fox here in just a second. Joey V, how you doing today? You ready for a wild ride, roller coaster day here?
I was just enjoying my avocado toast in the other room, and someone said, get in that studio. Trump verdict is in. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wiping the green smudges off my shirt, and we're going to do some real radio here.
You know, Joey is the ultimate poker face player there, so you'll never know if he's excited, not excited.
Joey, I think we should go to the feed here. It looks like they're starting to get some word as to what the verdict is. Let's bring this up and see what they are saying.
A split of folks here who have been protesting on both sides of this case. Some cheer, some boos, as we are now getting the information from the jury. We're up to 18 counts, 19 guilty. Remember, we have 34 here, 20 guilty. And again, these counts were very similar, what they were looking at. It was different occurrences, essentially, of the same crime, a misdemeanor that was elevated by being linked to a felony, to an underlying crime. We are now 24 counts in, all guilty from inside. This is what we are hearing from our producers, up to 26 guilty. Now, remember, each of these counts could maximum have 4 years in jail. President Trump would be considered a first-time offender. These are non-violent crimes. So it seems that it is unlikely the judge would sentence him to prison. But we are now up to 31 counts guilty out of 34. 32 guilty, also coming in from inside the courtroom. Our producers now saying 33 and 34. They're saying guilty on all 34 charges. That is where we are at. The jurors, it looks like we're going to leave for the day. Suddenly we get this verdict. It is 34 guilty counts on all of this. I want to bring in Andy McCarthy, who's here with me, Judge Janine as well, and Trey Gowdy. Andy, where we go from here, obviously there will automatically be an appeal from this Trump team as quickly as possible. There's the legal issue of sentencing to come. That's going to take maybe months to get to a pretrial report on this, and then to a sentencing by the judge. And he reminded the jurors he's the one who decides. But we have the reality now of a former president for the first time being convicted on 34 criminal counts, guilty on all of these counts. Whatever conflict or confusion or questions the jury had, they got that information back to them this morning. By the end of day two of deliberations, we're at 34 guilty counts for the former president of the United States of America.
It's a historic trial of a former president of the United States by his partisan adversaries. Whatever you think of the results, it's inconceivable in New York that anyone else other than Donald Trump would ever been indicted in this way. By Alvin Bragg, the elected progressive Democratic district attorney who campaigned on the fact that he would go after Donald Trump, that he had a history of going after Donald Trump. This is a very political exercise. And you have to say that it accomplished what it set out to accomplish. What they wanted was to have a situation where they could call Donald Trump a convicted felon in the run-up to the election. Mm-hmm. We have an elected Democrat who got that accomplished. He got a very friendly judge who ruled his way on every important thing and turned the jury instructions into a roadmap to conviction. So now I assume, with the mission having been accomplished, we'll have more procedural regularity, Shannon. As you just said, there'll be a pre-sentence investigation. There should be a sentencing scheduled, and we'll go from there. But this case will be appealed, and I hope that there'll be more fairness and equity in the appeal than there was in the trial.
And Trey, when these counts, this indictment first came in, there were a lot of people across the political and legal spectrum who said this feels like the weakest case against President Trump. Something changed along the way. How much of this had to do with the guidance from Judge Merchan, whether it was the jury instructions, whether it was the decisions on objections, whether it was the decision not to let in certain witnesses that the defense wanted to call?
All of the above. The verdict is a necessary and probable consequence of everything that happens up to that point. So that includes jury selection. It includes evidentiary rulings. I was in the courtroom or the overflow room 4 different days. Shannon, it wasn't just the result of Judge Merchan's rulings. The tone of his voice was different depending on which side was doing the objecting. So, you know, look, I said a week ago, juries usually get it right based on the information they're given. When you don't get to hear from an FEC expert, when you hear both proximity and propensity evidence against the defendant, and by that I mean he was close to two people who were guilty, therefore he must be guilty, and you hear salacious details with Stormy Daniels. I mean, I didn't ever think it was going to be an acquittal. Having been in the courtroom, I thought it might be a hung jury, 10-2, 11-1. But verdict is only the result of what you're given up until that point. So this is not a surprising.
The congressman, the former congressman, the former federal prosecutor, Trey Gowdy, who is a Republican but is not a Trump sycophant at all, just hit the nail on the head. Chris, this verdict is a probable and almost necessary result. And I say that as a huge Trump fan, from what was orchestrated before them. This case from beginning to end was orchestrated to reach this verdict. I'm not surprised at it by at all.
Yeah, it was before we came on the air. I'll give you credit, Mr. Speaker. You said that you had a bad feeling that a guilty verdict was going to come back. All 34 counts, as we heard in that report. I have to tell you, I'm sad for my country today. This is banana republic type of stuff, to twist the law in such a way to try to get a conviction before the election. This is election interference at the height. And this is just, it's a sad situation. And as that commentator said, the Democrats now have what they want. Now they can campaign and say that Donald Trump is a convicted felon. They are trying to use lawfare to do what they couldn't do in the electoral process. And it's a sad day today.
Chris, you've encapsulated my emotions rather well. My emotions are not, I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all at this. I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm disenchanted with our system, Chris, which I thought, despite all of its warts, its necessity from time to time of getting things absolutely wrong. We've gotten things very wrong in U.S. history, but we still always eventually get to the right conclusion, right? Yeah. Sometimes it takes us generations, but we're the only country on earth that learns from its wrongs and tries to be better. We try to aspire to be a nation of freedom, liberty, and justice. Sean Davis, there's a lot of reaction coming in right now. Sean Davis from The Federalist says this. We all know the verdict already. He put this up right before the verdict came out. We all know the verdict already because this thing was rigged from the beginning. A dirty prosecutor ran an illegal case using a corrupt judge and a jury pool of left-wing Biden voters to convict and sideline the ruling regime's top political opponent. You don't hate these people nearly as much as they deserve. I think Sean Davis and many others are hitting the nail on the head. This was a weaponization of our justice system to go after the top political opponent of the current ruling party's adversary, this fall.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see in the future a repeat of what we've seen many, many times when it comes to Trump, where his detractors think that they've cornered him and think that they've have finally got him. They'll see that they don't. I'm not a lawyer, but I have been following this semi-closely and listening to all the legal experts and, you know, especially Andy
McCarthy.
I mean, he's talking about the judge's instructions, how the judge just bent over backwards where it seemed for the prosecution. I heard one person saying, it might have been McCarthy, that this judge was so in the tank for the prosecution that when he opened the case and said to the defense, are you ready? Then he turned to the prosecution and said, are we ready? And I think that pretty much describes it when you see these judges' instructions and how he conducted himself in this case.
Chris, as we know, the left has taught us that pronoun usage is very important in today's world.
Yeah.
So if we're saying we as referring to the prosecutor, Chris, you know what? You know, as part of one of the future speaker stump speeches in the near future, I should probably download the jury instructions once they become publicly available.
And talk about that,
and
Tim,
read those on the air.
Is this normal to have where it takes an hour and a half to read jury instructions? Are they usually that complicated? I'm glad you brought that up.
No, they're never short.
Yeah.
And they always tend to have legalese in them, but they don't tend to be so complicated. And Chris, you're right. Andy McCarthy, we heard him before we came on the air. He said this case appeared to be an absolute disastrous mess until the jury instructions. Mm. And then he said the jury instructions seemed to make the case for the prosecutors that they couldn't make for themselves.
Yeah.
And led the jury to almost the verdict that they needed to reach. It was like it was directing them to that spot.
And one way that helped with that, I learned yesterday that in New York, the jury doesn't get the instructions written down. You have to take basically good notes as a juror. And if you want to hear testimony again or whatever, you've got to go back and ask them, hey, I want to hear such and such at this point. But they can't give them a written record of the jury instructions.
Right.
So you're supposed to just listen to an hour and a half worth of jury instructions, take that in as a non-lawyer and give a verdict.
And this idea that we talked about yesterday, Chris, where the instructions as to the misdemeanors, the two misdemeanors, which were somehow supposed to be combined with each other and then elevated to felony status because of this vague, ambiguous, amorphous reference to federal elections law. Did you know, folks, they never identified the actual violation of federal election law that Trump was supposed to have been allegedly committed.
Yeah.
They said, you can choose amongst any of these four possible alternatives, and all of you don't have to agree on one of the four. Some of you could agree it was this one.
Yeah.
Some of you could agree. I don't know, Chris, how that is possibly not reversible error. In a criminal trial, my understanding as someone who went to law school, has passed two state bars, former prosecutor, practiced for 20 years, did jury trials, how you're suddenly changing the standard of the burden of proof for the elements of a criminal case to not having unanimity of beyond the reasonable doubt on these particular elements. I just found out, Chris, Katie just texted us, and
I saw that.
We have got a big get. We're going to be joined by an attorney, a practicing lawyer who does nothing but practice law every day. Attorney General Andrew Bailey is going to join us, I think, at 4:45, and he's going to talk to us about his reaction. So, Chris, these are great questions to ask him, because Andrew Bailey is someone who's involved in preparing jury instructions every single week of his life, likely, as the head law enforcement officer of this state. So we'll ask him that question.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the many grounds. Sentencing, we just learned sentencing has been set for July the 11th. If people are wondering how was he found guilty on 34 counts, look, if he was found guilty, Chris, on
he's
one
speaking.
Count.
Let's hear if he's speaking.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see what they're talking about the sentencing here.
Trial by a conflicted
Trump's
judge
talking.
Who is corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6%. In this district, in this area, this was a rigged, disgraceful trial. The real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA and the whole thing. We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man. And it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble, but this was a rigged decision right from day one with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump there.
And you know, Tim, I was going to make the point before we saw the president making his statement. Let's take the legal aspect out of the judge and just look at it from the political standpoint that these people now, this is just naked. They're not even trying to hide what they're trying to do. I mean, this was a kangaroo court prosecution, a kangaroo trial. The judge's instructions were inappropriate. A lot of legal experts say that, but they are so invested on making sure that Donald Trump is not elected president again and protecting Joe Biden that they are willing to just I can't think of what's the word that they used in Breaking Bad for Gus when he just was hiding in hiding in plain sight. That's what they're doing. That's what Judge Merchant is doing. This is hiding in plain sight of trying to hijack an election and railroad someone into jail.
Look, I can tell you as a former practicing lawyer who has done jury trials, whether you like it or not, many times your case is decided at the point of jury selection. It's something that lawyers discuss all the time. Now, the lawyers don't know, but they generally have a feeling. And yeah, is some of it based on stereotypes? Is some of it based on actual data? Is some of it based on the biographical information, the things that lawyers learn during the long jury selection process? Let's remember, they took many days to select this jury. These lawyers were confronted with people that none of them knew, but then they learned much about them.
Right.
And I can tell you that the cake may have already been baked before the ingredients were even put in the mixing bowl, depending on the jury. Trump's right. He was not being adjudicated by a jury of his peers. Let's be honest about that. This is a jurisdiction that voted for Biden by nearly 90%. Yeah. So did they find the 10% of people that voted for Trump? I doubt it. And, you know, that wouldn't have been necessarily fair either. Did they find a mixture? I doubt that either. I will bet you this jury leaned heavily against Trump from the very beginning. I think we all probably held out hope that, okay, now the process will take over. Our system will take over. It will be fair and balanced from everything we've heard. And Chris and I did not sit in this courtroom, but we heard a lot of the reaction. We heard a lot of the testimony from people who did go to this courtroom. And what did we hear time and time again? The judge was obviously biased. The judge was putting his finger on the scale. The judge treated the prosecution and the defense very differently. The judge ruled on his objections in different ways. He said things in different ways. The tone of his voice, his expressions. You look at his history. His family is deeply embedded with the Democratic Party and with left-leaning interests, donors, etc., and so forth. I mean, let's be honest. This was not a fair trial, and it wasn't in a fair jurisdiction. And so the verdict that was reached, It was one that we had hoped wouldn't happen, but if we go back to the beginning, it's one that we likely all expected.
All right, let's get the Bucci.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I was not paying attention to the time. That's Chris Arps. I'm Tim Jones, producer Joey V on a big, busy day here. Does this have national security implications? Does prosecuting the political opponent of the ruling regime in the country have ramifications beyond our shores? We'll ask Steve Bucci that next and so much more when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.